The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. The epistle is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. I mentioned to first service that hymn was penned by Martin Fronsman, used to teach New Testament down at St. Louis Seminary, also the man who wrote the text for Thy Strong Word, but that is the theme hymn for my alma mater, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it fits the day because today I'll be preaching on the parable of the sower. And so I read again from Matthew chapter 13, these words of Jesus in verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Dear Christians, over the years of my ministry, I've learned to love the parable of the sower more and more. It has become for me a source of comfort and encouragement. And I hope that it is, or at least will become, a source of comfort and encouragement for you as well. When Jesus told the parable of the sower, things weren't going that great for Jesus. Things were not just perking along in his ministry. John the Baptist, who had prepared the Lord's way, was now in prison. John had become uncertain whether Jesus was really the Christ or not. It wouldn't be long before John lost his head. His preaching of sin and the Lamb of God who takes away sin was about to be silenced. His lifeless body would soon rest in the grave. Jesus' own people in the cities where he preached and did his miracles had turned against him. Many did not follow him. Most refused to believe Jesus as he preached that God's kingdom had come near to them in him. Few took Jesus up on his invitation to come to him and to find rest for their souls. The Pharisees accused Jesus of breaking the third commandment by working on the Sabbath when he healed the withered hand of the man. They declared that he was doing the devil's work, using the devil's own power to drive out the demons. Already they were hatching a plan to destroy him. Even Jesus' own family seemed to question just what he was all about and what he was up to. In fact, one day when his family came looking for him, his mother and his brothers, Jesus announced that his true mother and his true brothers were those who believed in him and had become his disciples. His Jesus' ministry was not the picture of success. But then, neither is mine. And that's why I love this parable. You mean it's not just me? You mean it's not just my ministry that seems to be floundering? You mean it's not just our congregation that is declining? You mean it's not just our school that is struggling to muster the students and the resources needed to continue our mission of Christian education? It's not. The word of the kingdom, the good news that in Jesus, God has established his kingdom of grace, the glorious gospel that by Jesus' cross and empty tomb, forgiveness, life, and salvation have been won for all and can be received by all through faith in him. That word, most of the time, does not take root, and it does not produce fruit in the hearts of those who hear. That's just the way it works in the kingdom of God. That's one of the things Jesus teaches us in the parable of the sower. You remember what Jesus said. The seed is the word of the kingdom. Some hear it, but don't understand it. The devil snatches the word out of their hearts. It never has a chance to take root and to grow and to become fruitful. Some hear the word and receive it with joy, but the word isn't deeply rooted in their hearts. Maybe they're new Christians, infants in the faith, lacking the spiritual maturity that comes with years and years of hearing and studying God's word. And at the first sign of trouble or persecution, they fall away from Jesus. Some hear the word, but their hearts are preoccupied with other things. the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And those things choke out the word and keep it from producing its fruits of faith in Jesus and good works for the neighbor. That's what Jesus experienced. That's what the apostles experienced. That's what we experience. That's what the church is always going to experience in a fallen world this side of heaven, where the devil and our sinful flesh stand ever ready to resist God's word and to keep it from accomplishing his saving purposes in us. Jeff Gibbs, who is a New Testament prof at our seminary in St. Louis, puts it this way. In our day, as in the first century, when the message of the kingdom of God in Jesus is told, it will not always work in the sense of attracting droves of believers and not inciting opposition. We want the gospel to work. We believe the gospel should work. God promises that the gospel will work. And when the gospel doesn't seem to work, if it's not being embraced by the masses, if the church's membership isn't steadily growing, then we feel like we have to do something different. We have to try something new. We have to change our messaging. We have to find something other than the gospel that will work. But the parable of the sower blows that kind of thinking right out of the water. According to Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised or discouraged that so many close their ears and their hearts to the gospel. It happened to Jesus. It happens to us. And when it happens, we shouldn't doubt God's good and gracious will. We shouldn't question the power of his word. We shouldn't assume that something is necessarily wrong with us or with our congregation or our school and what we're doing. Oh, there might be. I mean, we always need to examine ourselves and what we're doing and how we're doing it. But we shouldn't just assume we're doing something wrong. Your pastor, our day school teachers, you Christian parents and neighbors shouldn't automatically shoulder the blame when a parishioner, a student, a child, or a friend shuns God's word. And its fruits of faith and good works are nowhere to be found. You see, we forget. The devil is still roaming around, snatching the word of God out of unbelieving hearts. Trouble and persecution on account of the word is only going to increase, and it's going to increase quickly, and many more may fall away from Jesus. The cares and riches of this world are with us more now than ever, and they still threaten to choke out the word in the hearts of all who make those things their first love. And so, there are those who are baptized who never again darken our door. Adults and youth are confirmed in the Christian faith, but soon after stop hearing the Lord's word and receiving his supper. Children graduate from our school, and they and their parents are never seen again. Members decide they have more important things to do, more pressing matters to attend to than going to church and hearing God's word. Members embrace what God calls sin, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear God's word that calls them to repentance for their sins and promises them forgiveness for their sins. But there is a flip side to this coin that ought to encourage us. It certainly encourages me. While the word of God proves unfruitful in the hearts of many, even most, it does not prove unfruitful in the hearts of all. Today, for instance, these pews are not empty. They're not as full as we would like them to be, but they're not empty. The word of God has proven fruitful, at least in some. Jesus says, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Just as surely as there are those who will hear the word of God only to have it snatched out of their hearts, scorched by trouble and persecution, choked out by the cares and riches of this world. So there are those who will hear the word of God and understand it. There are those in whose hearts the word will prove fruitful and produce faith and good works, sometimes in great abundance. What Jesus is saying in the parable of the sower is what the prophet Isaiah says. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word will accomplish his saving purposes, not in all, not even in most, but certainly in some. God's word will succeed in the thing for which he sent it. In fact, it already has. Jesus, the word made flesh, Jesus, the seed of the woman, succeeded in the thing for which God sent him into the world. He lived a sinless life for you and me who are sinners. He took away your sins by his death on the cross. He secured for you life everlasting when he rose again from the dead on Easter Sunday. He has achieved salvation for you and for all. God's word will succeed in the thing for which he sends it. It already has. The word of the gospel, the testimony of Jesus, the good news of his death for our sins and his resurrection from the dead, that word has found rich soil in your heart. With each passing year of sermons, Bible studies, and personal scripture reading and devotions, that word becomes more and more deeply rooted in your heart. It becomes ever more fruitful in you, strengthening your faith in Jesus, increasing your love for your neighbor. God's word will continue to succeed in the thing for which he sends it. It will accomplish his saving purposes, at least in some. There will be those who hear and understand the word and in whose hearts it will be fruitful. And so, we just keep on doing what God has given us to do. We just keep on sowing the seed. I will keep on preaching the word to you and to anybody else who will bother to listen. Our teachers will keep on teaching the word to their students, no matter how many or how few. You parents will keep on instructing your children in the word of God. You, the baptized people of God, will continue to tell that word to your neighbors. How many will believe? We don't know. But some will. And that's all we need to know. Some will. That's what keeps us going as pastor and people, as church and school. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.